Welcome to They That Hope with Father Dave and Bob, seeing humor and hope in a crazy world. And I'm Bob.
And I'm Father Dave. But it's not crazy anymore because it's 2021.
That's right, baby. All the crazy was wrung out of 2020.
That's right.
And now it's just nothing but sanity, flowers, sunshine.
Rainbows. Actually, I haven't seen the sun in this year. In Steubenville, the sun is, I know that some of us weren't down in Florida.
Some of us might have seen a lot of sun in Florida.
Yeah. I have not seen the sun in a week.
Oh my gosh.
Entire 2021.
That's really depressing.
Welcome to my world right now.
Welcome to Day That Hope with Father Dave. Yeah, the weather stinks here.
I did that. I just said I didn't see the sun.
Well, the sun's kind of important.
I agree. He saved us.
Amen.
No, but 2021 is here. So
how's it going so far? We made some bold predictions. Last podcast in 2020.
But
I'm trying to remember, what did you say?
Living in the past.
Something about Our Lady.
That's living in the past.
Something about Notre Dame.
Winning. I might have said that they were going to win it all, and I would like to revisit that.
Now wait, was that 2020 or was that? No, that was 2020. That was actually New Year's Day, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, that was a tough way to start.
It was a tough way to start.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh well, Alabama's just good. But although
OH.
Yeah, I know they're going to have to take on Ohio State, which was, I must say, that surprised me.
That they beat Clemson. Yeah.
That surprised me. So.
Yeah. Well, in better predictions, so far, I'm doing pretty well.
You are.
Tampa Bay.
You are. Yeah, I know. And you said they're going to win their first game and they play.
They haven't played it yet, but they're
going to play the team from Washington. So yes. It's not called the Redskins. So we're not going
to
say that.
Okay. Now we have to edit that. Okay, I hope you're happy.
Beep. It's not called the beep. Yeah.
That's right. I remember there was a funny Onion article about, you know, when they were doing the name change. And I think the headline was, after lots of consultation, the Washington Redskins will be officially changing their name to the D.C. Redskins.
The D.C., there you go.
and that made everybody happy.
It's just, yeah.
Yeah, we're playing the Washington.
Actually, we're going to talk more about that kind of stuff.
The Washington football team.
Yep.
Now, you spent a lot of time. You kind of feel like Washington's, I mean, you're a Nationals fan.
I am.
You kind of feel like that's your home or a home away from home?
Yeah.
Or?
Well, I spent 8 years of my living days in Washington, D.C. And actually, I thoroughly enjoyed. That was a great eight years.
That's like a tenth of your life.
Something like the tenth. No, it's not. I'm really good at math. But, you know, D.C. was a great... D.C. was a great place to live for 8 years, but I would not want to live there forever. But it was fantastic. I love D.C. I love their baseball team. I like their hockey team to some degree. I'm not a fan of their football team at all.
What about their soccer team?
You know, actually, you and I, I think it was the first soccer game I ever went to.
Is that right?
With
D.C.
United,
yeah.
Yeah, but didn't we go to a professional game too?
That is a professional game.
I mean, a real professional. Didn't one of the teams...
What are you talking about? It's a professional soccer team.
Didn't one of the teams from Europe come over, though, and we went to a friendly match?
I think that was right. I think that was actually, though, in Columbus at one point.
No, it was in D.C.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love D.C. United. They were one of the first Major League Soccer teams.
Do you know, my suspicion is we've lost 80% of our
suspicion is that's like every episode. They just tune in.
It's like, oh, next. Although I did appreciate the email that we got that they said they loved our clarity, our passion, and our brevity.
There you go. That's the most important thing. At the very least, we can do this briefly.
The pain won't be too long.
That's right.
No, but did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah, I had a wonderful time. I did go down to Florida. I saw my mom, which was great. We didn't see her for Thanksgiving. But everybody was healthy. We didn't have any close contacts or quarantines. That's what kind of kept us out of the Thanksgiving time. And that was a blessing. You know, it's interesting. The CDC, you know, their new guidelines are that you only need to quarantine yourself if you go to a state that has a higher than 15% test cases. Ironically, Ohio has 7%, and at the time, Florida had 7%. So we were actually safer. That's how I justified it to myself.
Whatever works, safer
going to Florida. Oh, there happened to be tickets to a Tampa Bay Buccaneers game.
Coincidence?
That was also, I don't think.
But didn't you also have an anniversary?
No.
Oh, never mind. I thought it was your anniversary.
Oh, it was my wife's birthday.
Oh, that's what. Okay.
My wife is actually the New Year's baby.
Okay. I knew there was something.
Of the West Coast. Okay. She was born at 12:01. She was on the cover of the papers and everything. Nice. So for the beginning years of her life, she always thought when everybody gathered in Times Square to say Happy New Year, they were saying Happy Birthday. And
I believe that
it's kind of you can get away with that for a kid, but she believed it until her 30s. So I don't know if she has an excuse for that. But so yeah, so New Year's is always a really fun time to just be out with Jenny and you know, start of a new year. And my birthday is I'm also a January baby, January 26th.
Okay.
We'll get to that a little
later.
I'm sure
though. We will.
It will have a whole episode dedicated to my life.
Yeah.
My
49
years of life, which will be at that point.
All right. That's
great. Our math is not good.
That's okay. No, it was Christmas was great. The Friars always stay together, and it was just great. We had beautiful evening mass the night before.
Yeah, my family got to go to that mass, which was great.
It was good to see the family.
Do they still do like that secret Portiuncula mass at midnight? Does somebody keep doing that? If it's a secret,
midnight,
I guess you can't tell me about it.
The midnight mass, they didn't do it this year. It kind of depends on the friar that's able to do it or willing to do it. So no. But then we had a beautiful morning. We had prayer together, mass together.
You opened presents.
I cooked dinner, so did all right, yeah.
What was for dinner?
We had a beef tenderloin or something like that with
something like that.
Yeah.
You cooked it.
I cooked it. I did. And it turned out fine. And asparagus and mashed potatoes and stuff. It was great.
Oh, that is great.
But then we had, honestly, the evening, it was just fun. We got together. We had desserts together a little bit later in the evening and white elephant gifts. It's just exchanging. It was great. It was great. And then most of the guys took off for a bit of a break, and I'd stick around kind of some quiet time. And we had a beautiful, there was maybe five of us friars together on New Year's Eve, and we watched a movie. What was it?
Die Hard?
No. Oh. Thor.
Yeah, Thor Ragnarok.
Which was great.
Yes.
Great.
I can't believe you hadn't seen that.
No, this was a perfect evening. So we watched that movie, and then we had a holy hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament to pray in the new year. I mean, that's
really nothing says Jesus like that.
Thor and adoration.
Right.
But honestly, it was really actually, there was something beautiful. In the reading, the last reading of the day on December 31st is from John's Gospel, and it says, "In the beginning was the Word." And I just found it interesting as we're praying the end of 22, we're praying in the beginning was the Word, and just blessing and praying in this year. And one of the challenges that we did was there's a way that we're kind of looking at 2020, like everything bad and all that. But there were many blessings of 2020. I just had a coffee with a young couple yesterday that, long story, had difficulty having a baby, and through just the Lord's grace and His providence and His care, and a medical procedure that was just really a blessing to their life, they had a little girl.
Aww.
And she was born in November. And they said 2020 will always be a blessing to us. And I needed to hear that.
Yeah.
So it was great. It was great. New Year's, great Christmas.
And you and I almost saw Wonder Woman together.
We did.
We bought tickets like a month in advance for the day after Christmas. And Pennsylvania, which is right across the border from us, which is where all the good movie theaters are, shut down.
Totally.
And thankfully, my son mentioned, "Are you sure it's still happening?" I mean, we're getting in the car that morning, and I'm like, "Yeah, maybe we should check." And they had shut the theater down. I guess they had refunded me the money. I need to follow up with that.
At least we had breakfast together.
But we had a wonderful breakfast together in West Virginia, which never shuts down for anybody.
Wild and wonderful, baby. No, so it was great, and everybody's back at the university today, and it was a good break, and it's. I'm ready to start getting going again.
So. And we've delayed those interested about Franciscan, as many of our students are certainly alumni. Mm-hmm. Part of the plan for the semester is we were supposed to start next week.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, but we're pushing it to the following week, taking off spring break.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that's great.
Yeah, I think there are all kinds of reasons on why we felt it was best to be able to make that change. Ultimately, I think it was a good change, and I think it'll work well. It'll put us in position us to, I think, start the semester really strong and have everyone in a good place.
Yeah, that's going to be
ready
great.
Or not. I'm sure your classes are ready.
No, I'm very grateful for the extra week.
I know. You are no different than the students.
I have way more facial hair than many of them.
If it's due on Monday morning, you're finishing it Sunday night.
So. That's right. Don't judge. Hey, speaking of academic programs at Franciscan University.
Were we speaking of academic programs?
This is called a transition.
Okay.
Sharpen your critical thinking skills and deepen your understanding of the most fundamental questions of human existence from a Catholic perspective. Like, why hasn't Notre Dame won a bowl game in his past 12 years?
That's not true. They haven't won a major bowl game. There's a difference. See, that's critical thinking right there.
What did they win? Like the
they won the Citrus Bowl last year, and they beat Iowa. It was a good win.
When
keep going.
The Citrus Bowl sounds like it's a major bowl game.
It is. Well, they haven't won a BCS game.
Oh, right. They did all that stuff. Yeah. So they might have won like the Chick-fil-A something or other.
Would you just keep doing this reading?
Sharpen your critical thinking skills and deepen your understanding of the most fundamental questions of human existence from a Catholic perspective with a master's degree in philosophy from Franciscan University of Stephenville.
That was great.
A highly marketable degree, our MA philosophy graduates go on to build careers in law, healthcare, business, education, or continue their graduate studies toward a PhD in philosophy, theology, or other fields. I have a question. Mm-hmm. So a PhD is actually stands for a doctorate in philosophy. So if you have a PhD in philosophy.
Yeah, just put a little two above it.
It's squared. Right? It's squared? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. More importantly, you will learn from a group of scholars who are steeped in the Catholic intellectual traditions and are experts in Thomistic philosophy, personalist philosophy, bioethics, metaphysics, and other branches of philosophy. Find out more about our MA philosophy program at franciscan.edu.
Amen.
And you should. You know, I'm more and more convinced, and I certainly feel this way working with young people, the biggest issues in our society today are not theological. They're philosophical. I mean, it is the, what is it? The tyranny of relativism, it said. I mean, it's hard to preach Jesus and like a one true God if people don't believe in truth. And that's why I really do think, I know our theology program and department and degrees get a lot of attention, and rightly so. It's a Catholic university, but man,
you're doing a great job.
The philosophy, I mean, that's just a bedrock of what's going on, and a really important thing to study, you know, in the right way.
And just the one of the things, and it actually transitions in light of transition. You know, we were just talking about transitions. This is a good one.
Yeah. Say so yourself.
Yeah. Don't mind if I pat myself on the back. But with all that's going on, some of the things that we were talking about was the struggles and the difficulties that are going on just in the country. And so much of it is just, it just doesn't make sense. If you can critically think about something and say, okay, that just doesn't make sense.
Right.
And to be able to articulate why or what it is that's being said. And well, have you heard that?
Yeah. Was it a congressman just said, but you know, amen.
Well, first off, he was doing the opening prayer for Congress
yesterday.
Right. So this whole kind of very neutral monotheistic God and right. Make sure you don't offend anybody or anyone, right? Right. And then at the end of it.
He said, amen and a women.
Right. As if amen was some sexist statement.
Right.
It's just
Hebrew.
I believe. So be it. Right. Yeah. Yeah, it is. But it just, the craziness, there's another thing that's going on in Congress right now. They're discussing about part of the rules of discussion in Congress is to get rid of all gender-neutral pronouns and all words that
You mean have all gender-neutral pronouns.
Right, right, exactly. I'm sorry. Right. Yeah, exactly. So you no more he or she and father, mother, parent. I don't know what they're going to word. Use some word like parental unit or it sounds like, I mean, but it's just, and as we were talking earlier, some people are just really antsy and nervous about that. And
understandably.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, understandably. So how do we find hope in the midst of these things? Tell us, Father Dave.
Well, first off, we don't place our hope in the government. We don't place our hope in who's in the White House. We don't place our hope in who's the Speaker of the House or silly rules. So that's one of the things, is to bear that in mind. And the other question is how does, particularly what's going on, some of the craziness, how does that impact our faith? Hmm. You know, it doesn't cause us from not be able to pray, not be able to have devotions, not be able to worship. It may, who knows what it's going to look like 5 years, 10 years down the road, but it doesn't impact our relationship with Jesus and our relationship with one another. And that's what we kind of have to bear in mind, is keep that in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, that message of be not afraid is a great way to start 2021, you know, which is to have, just to have hope in the sovereign power of God. You know, for many, the political structure is just seeming to get crazier and crazier. And again, also, just always be sensitive. The media is out for ratings. The headlines are clickbait. I mean, it is, I feel like almost like the media is really desperate now because, you know, the election's over and they were getting so many ratings and now it's kind of all fading. And so there's always just going to be this grab of the most sensationalist thing that's out there is going to be the headline of the webpage. And it's going to make us feel like, oh my gosh, this is the norm. I mean, I feel like every year California burns, like the entire state is on fire and everybody dies in California. Right, yeah. And then it comes around the next time. You know, like there's a manner in which, yes, certain things are happening and certain people are affected, but the way it zooms in and puts things out of context is, at least for me, you know, it's often a source of my anxiety. You feel like, oh my gosh, this is going to happen everywhere.
The thing that bothers me is individuals who lose their peace. They lose a sense of calm. They lose a sense of the Lord's presence because of all that's going on. And I want to be clear, and you're not saying this, and neither am I. It's not to say that serious things aren't going to be dealt with and aren't going to be discussed that may have right. an adverse impact on us as a church and as Catholic. And so all of those things are real. But in the light of that, we need to be faithful to what the Lord is inviting us to. We need to be faithful in our relationships with Him, in our relationships with our family, with one another, mm-hmm. loving and caring and being the disciple that Jesus is inviting us to be, and to not lose, you know, again, the media wants to stir us all up in right. a frenzy and just not to allow that to happen.
Yeah, and I would just say, I think the word for me in the face of this is just confidence. Yeah. You know, like that's what hope gives us. Hope gives us a real confidence that no matter how bad it gets, no matter who's in charge, no matter what's going on, the Lord is present. And this kind of ties into the philosophy thing that I was saying earlier. This is, by the way, a much better transition. That truth is truth. Mm-hmm. Like Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no matter what the noise is, we can believe in that. And I think sometimes, Father Dave, when these questions arise or when these challenges arise, sometimes people, some of our anger and our anxiety actually, I think, is a reflection of how much do we believe in the truth? Mm-hmm. Like, do we believe that God is sovereign? You know, do I need to have everything right, quote unquote, in my life to believe in a perfect and loving God? Right, right. And I think that's always, I mean, as we've been going through these various trials, not only just the past few months as a nation and as a world, but just in our own lives. Like, I think that's a perpetual challenge that brings us back when things aren't happening as we thought they should happen. Right. Where's the Lord in that?
Yeah, and I think that the other part of that is a sense of control, is that in one way we feel out of control and various decisions are being made and you know, we're going to see things that are going to take place in Washington over the next weeks and months that we who are faithful Catholics are very much opposed to.
Yeah.
We need to continue to do what we do. We pray, we fast. We like the March for Life is coming up. We continue to march and do that. But realizing that ultimately we can't control everything. And our, as we've said this time and time again, our hope is not there. Our hope is in the Lord and trusting that ultimately His providence will care for us. And while I agree that humanity is fundamentally good, which is our basic Catholic theology, we have a knack of just really messing things up.
Yeah.
And you know, there's the Thomas Jefferson. We were talking about Washington, D.C., the Thomas Jefferson Shrine, one of my favorite shrines in Washington. And one of the quotes that is always very sobering in the monument there says, I fear for our country at the thought of a God who is just and a God who will not withhold His justice forever. Or cannot withhold His justice forever. So I'm convinced that the Lord ultimately will give us as a nation what we ask for. And if we continue to elect people that are lunatics, why are we surprised when Congress is making these rules and people end prayers, amen and amen? I mean, why are we surprised, right? So what does that impact me, that I continue to be faithful to the Lord, I continue to be faithful to my community, to the university, to the church, and
to what God has put before us.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
In every moment.
And that's one of the things I think the negative things, I mean, I could go on a lot of negative things about the media, but things are placed upon us that we have absolutely no control over. Mm. And this becomes this weight and this burden, and it causes us to get anxious. And we just need to, that's why prayer is so important, is to be able to take some time, and I will reiterate, turn off the media, turn off the news. People will tell you if there's a meteor coming that you need to know about, right? And actually, yeah, I saw this thing that was the other day. There was about how, I forget which galaxy, and the Milky Way are going to collide into each other in like 4 billion years. It's like, here's just another thing I need to be worried about, right?
Right.
But just.
But that was the headline. Galaxies about to explode.
Exactly. Galaxies to collide. It's like, oh, great.
Right.
So be at peace. The Lord is the Lord.
Amen. Yeah. Be faithful to your vocation. The first vocation is holiness, prayer, your priesthood, family. Ooh, speaking of family, we have an alum that shared something with us through our email, hope@franciscan.edu.
And it's a good thing we have an unlimited capacity for emails because it's filling up.
It really is. Yeah, it's funny. One of his things is, I know that you probably get a lot of emails like this. We don't.
Yeah.
We don't.
Not a lot like that.
No, not like this. So this is from an alum, Zach Hinger. He was a student of mine, catechetics major, youth ministry concentration. He's out in Westchester, Ohio. Which apparently is two different words.
Yeah, I think it's near Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Anyway, so Zach started a book company for parents to read books to their kids, and it's called Joyful Little Catholics. So you can go to joyfullittlecatholics.com. He just published their first book. Which is My First Catholic Words.
Which would probably be like anthropomorphism.
Right, transubstantiation.
That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And then the next one is going to be called My First Church Tour.
Oh, cool.
It sounds like just a really sweet thing to do.
Somebody doing art with them and illustrations?
I'm going to say yes. He didn't mention that in the email. You could do that. He didn't want to waste a lot of time because he knows we get so many of these.
Yes, that's right.
So he was just trying to be brief.
Like the other
email we got, or two emails, but that's okay. We know we're loved and we love you. It's all good. You don't need to send us emails, but if you do, it's hope@franciscan.edu.
And support that. Picking up that book.
Yeah, that's Joyful. Gosh, I got to get it right. www.joyfullittlecatholics.com. And that's just a great way to get kids into the faith.
That's great.
Speaking of getting kids into the faith.
Baptism.
Baptism of the Lord is
Sunday.
This Sunday. Bam. And that's the beginning of ordinary time. Or is it the end of Christmas time? I always get confused.
Yes, same. I guess. Ordinary time starts the next day. So
we're still in Christmas time.
We are. We're in Christmas season.
Do they know it's Christmas time at all?
They should. I keep on saying Merry Christmas to people and they look at me like, you're a little outdated. But it's great being Catholic. We continue to celebrate.
Amen.
Although the octave is over, but we're still in the Christmas season.
Yeah, that's great. And so ordinary time
begins
with the baptism of the Lord.
Yep. Which is, let me ask you, why did Jesus get baptized, Bob?
It was to signify the transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament.
There's all kinds of great answers. I like that.
That's a good one.
I like that.
Yeah. I had a few more, but I'll just go with that one.
Yeah. No.
Why don't you say, Father?
Well, no, it's interesting because there's all kinds of theology and there's been so much theology written about why Jesus baptized. As a sign for us, as a sign of making the water holy, these waters are different, as an example for us, as what you just said, this transition that takes place. But I just love the image of Jesus going into the water. Now, if you have been to the Holy Land, so you've been to the Jordan.
Yes,
and it's one of the things I love is to be able to go to the Jordan and renew our baptismal vows, but just to be able to recognize, the Jesus in the water with John and the heavens opening up and this is my beloved son. Listen to him. It's just this great image.
And I love, part of the baptism of the Lord. I mean, many people ask the question, well, if baptism is about, being forgiven of your sins, then
that's not all it is, right?
But that's exactly it. That's not all it is.
That's because, all we focus on, though, unfortunately.
Right. Sadly, but it is, you just think of the images of water and rebirth and, just the fact that Jesus, all the sacraments that we celebrate today were celebrated before Christ died and rose again. He elevated, he transformed those things. The Jewish people had been breaking bread at Passover for over 1,000 years, and yet that's what became the Eucharist. And similar thing with baptism, like that action, that image, had always been an active part of the faith and what God was doing.
Ritual purification.
And again, once the Lord takes that and elevates that. So yeah, talk more about that. So many people just say, what's baptism? You get all your sins washed away.
Yeah.
That's not just all what it's
about. Right. And the other is that you are being brought into a community. That it's not just this little bit of Jesus. Some people say, well, you're baptized and this little spark of Jesus is placed in your heart. No, I'm placed in him, right? That I am grafted to him. And I always joke about this. I'll be giving a talk and I'll ask people, what's the most significant day of your life? They may mention the day they were married. Some people would actually mention the day their child was born, but we've established that like the fact that they were born, but the whole process part.
It's gross.
Could have skipped that out. But I suggest that it's baptism. I mean, I was very blessed. I was able to do some baptisms. I did 4 baptisms on Sunday, which is more baptisms than I've done in a while. But there were just some alumni in the area, and because of where they were coming from, there was difficulty in getting their kids baptized. But it's just it's such a celebration of a celebration of life. That's one of the things that when you go to a wedding or a baptism, it reminds you, particularly a baptism, right? You've got a child and the possibilities of what can be and what will be and all the dreams and the hopes and the prayers that go with that. It was just a very inspiring experience.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. It must have been cool. Like, I baptized some of your kids, didn't I? I baptized Colby, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did. Good.
Yes,
good,
you did.
Good.
Yeah, me, maybe.
Is he the only one I did?
Maybe.
Okay, you don't know either. Good.
As long as we both, but I know with Colby.
Yeah.
You definitely did baptize
him. That's right.
Actually, I don't think you baptized him.
We just said that's what I know, and then the next thing out of your mouth is.
You were there, well, because you were the godparent.
Right. I think Father John did.
But I think you did baptize another one.
I think I did too. Maybe Aiden?
Maybe.
Okay.
Anyway. Yeah. It's kind of the nice thing. Yeah. I can't wait to baptize.
Yeah, that's really cool.
God willing, you know, being a deacon, that's something. As I've talked to some deacons, and I often just say, what's one of your favorite things to do as a deacon? And many of them say baptism.
Yeah. Baptisms are great.
It's just so beautiful.
Right, can I tell my favorite, most favorite baptism story?
You may.
Thank you. This was just great. So I was working in China and doing some ministry in China. And I'm going to make a longer story, kind of more brief, because that seems to be the theme of the day.
People brevity. Love the brevity. Yeah, brevity. Yes.
But it was a woman who was raised with no faith at all, and it was an only child, and she, in circumstances, she met a friend of ours, and through that, she was really evangelized, and we found ourselves in this situation where
this is in China.
In China, right. So it's, you don't just go through an RCA program there, right? This was working with...
Was this like the underground church?
Yeah, without a population, right, that would not be part of the Patriarch Church. And long story, but she ultimately asks to be baptized.
And how old is she?
She was probably 40.
Wow.
40.
Okay.
And it was just so beautiful. It was just a small community. And I remember just baptizing her. She was leaning over this small, they didn't have a baptismal font, but it was a small little font that they had their holy water in. And the image of her weeping as I was baptized, I can close my eyes and I can see the tears of her mingling with the tears of the holy water that had just, or the water that we had just been blessed. And when I was through baptizing her, she kept on saying, this is a dream come true. This is a dream come true. And then she went on and shared with me the first time. She said, the first time I had ever heard the name of Jesus, she was from a small village in China. She said this preacher was coming through town, and he read from a book. She said, now I understand that book was the Bible, but I'd never seen the Bible before. I'd never heard the Bible before. It didn't mean anything to me. But it was the scripture where Jesus says, it was not you who chose me, it was I who chose you. And she said, I was a young girl and I heard that, and then just something stirred in my heart that said, I wished you would have chosen me. Mm-hmm. I wished I would have been chosen. And then she began weeping again, as did everybody else.
Right.
And she said, this is a dream come true. I've finally been chosen.
Yeah.
Right. And just this, I mean, we take baptism for granted. It's just what we do.
Right.
But for this woman, it was a dream come true. And all that she'd hoped for and dreamed for was fulfilled in baptism. So let us not take for granted, right, the gift and the grace of baptism. The catechism says that the baptism is the gateway to a life in the Spirit of God. And we ought to be able to celebrate that.
I shared this at the Wild Goose video when we talked about my adoption experience with my son Joseph, from Haiti, and just the idea of being adopted in the Holy Spirit. It's not like, you know, you like the adoption we have on Earth, which is paperwork and psychological exams and home studies and, you know, legal stuff. We went through all that, you know, to adopt Joey. One of the beautiful things, and this is what happens in baptism, is we're actually born again. Sometimes we avoid that word because we think of that fundamentalist
right.
group, you know, oh, we're not
do
born
use that word, right?
But like in baptism, God infuses his spiritual DNA into our lives. I mean, Like, we're not just called children of God. I mean, that is what we are.
Right.
Like, it truly is our identity. And that goes right back to that moment of baptism. You know, whatever age we were when we received it. I mean, we are, you know, the ontological change, right, you know, of
right.
it.
Like, that's we don't baptize again.
Yeah, that's
As
right.
Catholics, we baptize once,
and,
right?
And that's why we're okay to baptize kids that have no idea what's going on, you know, because we believe in that grace. We believe in what's going on. We believe in the power of family and actually depend on that, you know, that these children would be raised in
that
faith.
That the grace given at that would bear the fruit that the Lord would hope for.
Yeah, amen. But it really is an absolute and total transformation. You know, another thing that Catechism says about baptism is it says it's the most important sacrament. Mm-hmm. And some people say, well, I thought the Eucharist is the most important sacrament. I mean, the Eucharist is the sacrament of sacraments, but the Catechism makes it clear, but you don't get the Eucharist without baptism. You don't get anything.
Right, it's the gateway.
Without baptism.
It's the
gateway
to everything else.
Yeah, and what a beautiful thing that our Lord, you know, he went through everything we went through. I mean, he was like us in all things but sin.
Right.
And so even though the experience of baptism in that sense of the remission of sins, et cetera, wasn't part of what he was doing, he was still going through baptism on a natural level. But just like everything he did, it's the incarnation. He took what was natural and he brought it to us supernaturally.
Right.
And even just that public ministry that starts with the baptism. Like, what was he doing for 30 years?
Yeah.
He was just living, you know, loving his mom, loving his dad, doing his craft, living in a town.
Learning from his father.
Right, learning from the rabbis in the synagogue, you know, wherever he was growing up. But then using that moment to start the ministry. And in a similar way, that's what happens with us. When we receive that baptism, you know, the Father says, I choose you.
Yeah.
You know, and
here's my little invitation for people today.
Ooh.
Is those of you who are parents, talk to your kids about the baptism. I mean, just tell them the story of baptism. I happen to know I was baptized on Valentine's Day. And
aww.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that great?
And that's so cute. But loving. Yeah. I was baptized on the Feast of the Annunciation.
So you were a little bit older then.
Yeah, I was actually a little bit older. I was March 25th.
Yeah, almost 2 months.
Yeah, there were some things going on. It was because my uncle, who I was named after, was it was in Vietnam at the time.
Okay.
And anyway, there was just things that. But yeah, it was a little bit delayed.
I mean, at that time, like I was 2 weeks after I was born.
Yeah, I was 2 months. They were a little bit
baptized.
I remember my mom and my grandmother talking about how worried they were that they waited that long.
Let's hurry up.
You know, back in the
done.
Day, it was like no.
Let's get this done.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But it's wonderful to know your baptism day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Mom and dad made it known to me. But so that's if you have kids, talk to your kids about your baptism. If you're able, you've got mom and dad, and you're just able to call them and ask them about the day you were baptized. There's something about that I think is really beautiful to be able to share that story.
And maybe that'd be just a great thing to celebrate.
Yeah,
if you
absolutely.
Don't, I mean,
yeah,
we try to do that with our kids, is we just try to do a little, at least just an acknowledgement, a celebration of this is your baptism day.
That's cool.
And that's
awesome.
A wonderful thing
that's
to
awesome.
Do. So
great.
As we enter into ordinary time, there's nothing Which ordinary
isn't
so about
ordinary.
It. That's right.
In fact, I could go for a little bit of ordinary right now.
Exactly. Let us just be grateful to God who transformed us into his love, our Father in heaven. We are his sons. We are his daughters, no matter what kind of gender pronouns the government wants to put
that's
on that.
That's right.
And we can have hope in that. Would you close us in a blessing?
I think that's great. Is just that very thing, is that we place our hope in you, Jesus, that you are our source of peace and our source of strength and our source of comfort. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for the gift that is baptism and literally allowing us to share in the divine life, which is just remarkable that you allow us to share in your divine life through the grace of baptism. Pour out your blessing upon all of our listeners. They know your peace and your presence. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Have a good week, Bob.
Thanks. You too, Father David.
David. There you go.
And thank you for listening to our podcast, for all the shout-outs, just for your support. And we are praying for you, and we hope this is really blessing you. Hey, if it is blessing you, share it with a friend. Let people know about this. We're back now for 2021, and we're just going to keep plugging away at this every week, trying to give you a message of hope. If you want to share a message of hope with us or a prayer request or even something we can share on the podcast, send us an email, hope@franciscan.edu. That's hope@franciscan.edu. God bless everyone.